Hugh, let's get into now the thoughts of why these appear during dark, rural, lonely places, and then I'll try to get your tie-in on your spiritual aspect in a moment as well. But why in these spots?
Well, it's not just these unusual spots, it's the unusual time. I mean, the peak time is 3 a.m., and, you know, who hangs out on lonely country roads at 3 a.m.?
Yeah.
Astronomers do.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's where we do our observations. And yet very few astronomers see UFOs. It's not zero. I mean, I have known astronomers who do see these residual UFOs. And that's what I discovered in my 20s, is that, you know, here a group of astronomers logging thousands of hours a year, and they see nothing. Other astronomers log only a few hours per year, and they consistently see UFOs.
You're right.
And that's when I began to actually check into the background of people who have these residual UFO experiences. And that's where I discovered a correlation, that people who are not at all involved in occult studies never have these residual UFO experiences. And people that are heavily involved consistently do. They'll even have repeated encounters. And the fact that these UFOs go back to the same location, the same people, indicates that there's a correlation with the experience or the behavior of the people.
Now, wait a minute. You're saying that people who are involved with or have heavy knowledge of the occult are generally more apt to witness UFOs than those who are not?
I'm actually claiming there's a one-to-one correspondence. In fact, in our book, we say this is a testable hypothesis. It's testable in this context. If you stop your engagement in these occult activities, that will put an end to your encounters with residual UFOs.
All right, now give me the definition of these occult activities.
Well, most Americans, I don't have any trouble with this when I'm over in Russia or in, you know, other nations in Africa and Europe when I speak on this, but it's here in America where we tend to be naive about what occult activity is all about. I mean, some of the more obvious things would be attending a witchcraft coven, spiritual meeting. But I find that often women get involved through Ouija boards, or it could be you know, studying certain kinds of astrology, you know, certain kinds of art, music. But you know, obviously going to a séance, trying to call up a spiritual being from the other side. And typically to get a residual UFO experience or encounter in your life, it needs to be more than just one or two innocent encounters.
Yeah, but Hugh, we've got police officers, pilots who witness these objects.
Well, even presidents.
They're not involved in the occult.
Well, check into their background. I think you'll find it's there. Now, it doesn't have to always be the individual. It could be the individual or some close relative. For example, I talked to one young man who was having these experiences, and he says, well, I'm not personally involved in this, but he had a sexual relationship with a witch, and it was through that sexual relationship he was getting these experiences, and when he broke off that relationship, that was the end of the UFO experiences.
So what are you saying about UFOs? That they're demons?
What I'm saying is that whatever's behind the occult is also behind these residual UFOs. And that's just not my opinion. I mean, in our book, Lights in the Sky and Little Green Men, we document how physicists who've devoted 10 years or more to studying the UFO phenomena all concur that it's identical to what's behind the occult. Now, as a Christian, I've got an opinion on what that occult's all about.
Okay, but you do know, when we open up the phone lines later tonight for you, you are going to get flooded with calls from people who have witnessed things, who will tell you that they are not involved with the occult, or their wives, or their brothers and sisters, or themselves. And, I mean, how are you going to answer that?
Well, I've been dealing with those kinds of things on radio and TV interviews for 25 years now. And typically what I do is, you know, I'll have the person contact me off the air, and I say, look, I got a checklist for you. And we actually have that through our reasons.org organization. Is we have a list of 42 different kinds of activity that would qualify as opening the door to a UFO experience. And so I just have people go down the list. Now, we actually get rid of a lot more who say, look, I've had a UFO experience, but I've never been involved in the occult. Actually, the first checklist I take them down is say, okay, you've had this UFO experience. Let's see if it falls into the category of a misidentified object rather than a true residual UFO. That takes care of 99% of the calls that I get. Now, that remaining 1%, then I take them down a checklist of different kinds of occult activities. And over the past 25 years, I've never seen an exception. It fits. And then the other thing I think is some added evidence for that is the percentage of people having these residual UFO encounters in a particular nation is proportional to the number of people in that nation involved in the occult. For example, when I was in Russia in the 80s and 90s,
okay,
I found a lot more people having reporting these UFO experiences than here in the U.S. But Russia is a place where many more people are involved in the occult than here in the U.S. And that would explain why you get such a preponderance of sightings in places like France, northern Brazil, North Africa. These are all places where you find a heavy degree of occult activity in the population.